This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, hey, and how are you? Welcome back into Gwynn and Chris. 401 is the time. Chris, hello. Tony Gwynn Jr. at Petco Park, where in about 90 minutes we'll be heading with Sam Levitz, EcoWater, SoCal pregame show, getting you ready for Padres and Athletics tonight. Game two of a three-game series. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Adam Klug, program director at 97.3 The Fan. Correct me if I'm wrong, sir. Tonight is Joe Musgrove basketball jersey giveaway night.
Yeah, you might have heard about that one, huh?
I did. I promoted it for a long time, but I had forgotten that tonight was the night until
Joe Musgrove just... basketball jersey
night. Yeah. Get yourself a Musgrove basketball. Scrape, you want one? You want me to pick you up one?
Huh? I actually already have one. But
you already stole one from the... we only get
one. I did
one.
Not steal.
We get one at the studio. That means you stole the one that we had.
No, there was plenty of jerseys to be given out. The problem with these giveaways is that they don't make them for larger gentlemen like myself. It just doesn't.
Even after SD fat loss?
Yeah, I need to lose another 40 pounds to fit into this stuff. Because if you weigh over 200 pounds, you can't wear this stuff.
You have to wear two SD fat losses before you can get into the Musgrove
yes.
basketball jersey.
Well, but they are cool
how about
looking.
This, Chris, you talked about the giveaway down tonight. Why don't we give away a pair of tickets and send some lucky fans down to the game tonight?
Really? Just like last minute right now?
Just like that.
We're going to give away two tickets to the game tonight?
Only if they can beat you in Chris versus the Fan, of course.
Wow. We are putting a lot on the line today in Chris versus the Fans.
So if you win, Chris. I got a little bit more pep in my step.
No, me too. I am geared up for a round of Chris versus the Fans right now with tickets to tonight's Padres game on the line.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself,
howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, you heard it, everyone out there. Adam Klug just added some tickets tonight, a pair of tickets to the Padres against the A's. You can get that Joe Musgrove jersey. You just have to be available to come to the game tonight on short notice. So just make sure when you are calling in that you can go to the game tonight. And we also are playing for something else, which would be you will qualify for a chance to win our grand prize. A two-night stay at Fontainebleau Las Vegas. Tickets to either Hootie and the Blowfish or Smashing Pumpkins at Blue Live Theater and $150 poolside dining credit. Summer room packages and tickets are available now at FontainebleauLasVegas.com. I'm going Smashing Pumpkins.
Did I hear a hundo and a half at the pool?
Yes, you heard a hundo and a half.
A hundo
Chris,
and a half at the pool. Man,
yes,
that
150.
I get Padre tickets tonight. All right, I'm bringing the Dyson to play. We have six.
No.
Yes, we do. We have six lines. And so before Adam just, you know, willy-nilly goes to one of the lines, I'll roll the die 1 through 6. And he will start with line 3. And that will be our first contestant today.
And who's that?
Totally by random. Adam? You ready?
Who's on the line, Chris?
Oh, Mark and Vista, it looks like.
Mark, okay.
Yeah. Mark, how are you?
Hello, Mark.
How's it going, guys?
You are the lucky contestant. Can you go to the game tonight if you happen to win here?
Yes, I can.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, good. Let's make it happen.
I got to read the rules real quick. You have to make it through 3 questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you are eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before we get into the first question. You get that question for free. All right, Mark. Let's get to question number one. All right, we talked about this earlier. What unusual thing happened at Petco Park during the game last night? Outside of the play on the field, what unusual thing happened?
So like,
The lights went out. That is correct.
The night the lights went out in Georgia. Remember that song,
like
Adam Clue?
I don't think he does.
Really? That was a huge hit way back when. The night the lights went out in Georgia. Look it
up.
You
know
what
song I like?
You should know that, being from Georgia.
The devil went down to Georgia.
The devil also went down to Georgia. I think the devil went down to Georgia the night the lights went out in Georgia.
Okay.
All right. Mark's on his way. He's got two to go for the tickets.
Here is a sports movie question. In Mr. Baseball, one of my favorite movies, by the way, Tom Selleck's character goes to Japan because a rookie played by a real-life major leaguer takes his first base spot. Who is the real-life major leaguer? Again, in Mr. Baseball, Tom Selleck's character goes to Japan because a rookie played by a real-life major leaguer takes his spot. Who is that real-life major leaguer?
Horace Wilson.
That is incorrect. I've never heard of him before, but Chris?
I don't know him either.
Do you know?
I don't. A real life major leaguer played in the movie. Oh, was cast in the movie. Okay. Yeah, first baseman. I'll say Phil Nevin. I don't know.
Phil Nevin is incorrect.
Good for you, Mark.
Money Mark Lloyd just got a haircut.
Was it Fernando Reyes was in the movie, Mr. Baseball?
No, Frank Thomas.
Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt, was in that, huh?
Right. Yes, he was.
Did not realize the Big Hurt was in a movie like that. Good for him.
Doesn't matter, Mark. You are on to question number three.
Yes, you are.
All right, I'm going to name three players. You have to tell me what team they played for together. Randall Grichuk, A.J. Pierzynski, Marco Gonzalez. Randall Grichuk, A.J. Pierzynski, Marco Gonzalez. What team did those three play for?
I want to say the White Sox, but I don't think I don't think that was his guess.
Yeah, I don't think that was his guess.
I know it wasn't. I think it was Milt.
Are you going by year two, Scraby?
No, not the year, just the team.
I'm going to say the... Let's go with the Red Sox.
The Red Sox is incorrect.
My bad. I thought in the answer sheet, Scraby has the year listed, so I thought they had to name the team and the year. I'm like, I was exing it before you even guessed.
All right, who is it again, Scraby?
Randall
Grichuk,
AJ Pierzynski, and Marco Gonzalez.
Grichuk played for a few teams. I know he played for the Rockies, but I don't think he was. Those other guys don't make sound like. I'm going to say that.
Doesn't he play for the Diamondbacks?
I think he plays for the Diamondbacks now, but he did play for the Rockies. He's played for the Angels. He's played for the Cardinals. He's also played for the Blue Jays. Blue Jays. No.
Incorrect.
Mark,
wow.
A winner.
Mark going to the game tonight, as well as that qualification to Las Vegas. The 2014 St. Louis Cardinals.
It was the Cardinals. Well, I said he played for the Cardinals. I did. That was the only player I knew. The rest of the other guys I didn't really know that well. I knew Pierzynski played for the White Sox, but I don't recall Grichuk ever playing for the White Sox. So.
I couldn't remember what team. I know Pierzynski played on like five or six teams. I didn't think the Giants and the White Sox just seemed too obvious. So
that's the Braves too.
All right, well, good for you, Mark. It works out that way sometimes on Chris versus the Fans, and works out nicely for you. Not only do you qualify for a trip to Las Vegas, but you said you can go. So stay on the line. We'll get your name and number and the info, and they're going to send you those tickets right away by email, so that you can head on down and enjoy the game tonight between the Padres and the Oakland A's and get there early because you get the Joe Musgrove Hoops jersey. What a day for Mark and Vista. Just like that.
Yeah, sorry to everybody else. But that's how it works.
That's how it works. Sometimes I run the table all day long, and sometimes I don't. Simple as that. It hasn't really been my deal. Go ahead.
I got a couple house cleaning items to do before we go to break. This hour in 97 San Diego County Fair. Let's go retro at the San Diego County Fair, opening June 12th, which is tomorrow. The Magic of the Midway and live concerts featuring the Kings of Late Night, Jay Leno, Craig Ferguson, and Arsenio Hall performing live June 21st. Get your tickets now at sdfair.com. Let's go retro. I don't know if you had anything to talk about, Chris, but I had this one story that I thought was kind of funny. But remember when we talked about Mauricio Dubon when he was with the Astros, kind of taking shots at the Giants, saying that they didn't treat him well as a Giant?
Vaguely.
Okay, so apparently he's still talking about it, or he's still being asked about it. But yesterday or the day before, Mauricio Dubon finally said what it was, who he was so mad at within the Giants organization, and he said the guy who's not there anymore, Gabe Kapler. So he has a huge vendetta against Gabe Kapler, does not like the guy, says he likes everyone else in the organization except for Gabe Kapler. He said, quote, "I tell people all the time, the person I didn't like left already. For me, that was the only problem I had. I like the guys. I know last year I didn't phrase it well, saying I wasn't treated right, but I just didn't like one guy. That's it. I'm cool with all the guys over there."
You know what I would say to that? If I was Gabe Kapler, you know what I would say to that?
What?
Who the hell is Mauricio Dubon? Who cares?
That really would anger Mauricio Dubon more than anything.
No kidding, man. Who cares? Mauricio Dubon doesn't like me, so what? You know, I mean, that's not going to change my life any. Here's something
that's sour grapes.
It is. It's sour grapes. And to me, it's not even a player worth noting.
Yeah.
Honestly, Mauricio Dubon, what is he, the Astros' ninth outfielder? I mean, you know. So what?
He's having a career
he's
year.
He's having
apparently.
A renaissance season. That's good.
Yes.
So much so that he's not. Oh, yes, he is in the lineup tonight against the San Francisco Giants. Speaking of lineups, though, we have a Padre lineup. Adam is busy taking the information from Mark and Vista, so we're not going to have our usual baseball lineup sounder, but let's give it to you for the Padres tonight. All right, very good. Thank you, Adam.
Wow.
Top of it, Luis Arraez will be leading off at first base. We mentioned this earlier, Scraby. Arraez has had back-to-back 0-for-5 games coming into this game tonight. Very, very surprising, right, for Luis Arraez
to be
hitless in 10 at-bats. But he's looking to snap a little bit of a skid tonight. It's only the second time all year that Arraez has gone back-to-back games without a hit. The other time was the first two games of the season. And now it's happened for the first time as a Padre. He's gone back-to-back games without a hit. Fernando Tatis Jr., who has a hit in each of his last 16 games, is batting second.
On the other side.
He's on a roll, and he'll be batting second. Jerickson Profar has been on a roll all season long, is hitting third in left field. Manny Machado back in there at the designated hitter spot tonight. There was plenty of talk about that last night. I mean, he DH'd, and I think people are saying, when's he going to play third base? You know, when you combine the elbow and now the hip, I think it's going to be kind of few and far between for Manny at third base, at least for the time being. I would think between now and maybe even the All-Star game, the next month or so, I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of Manny Machado at third base. Maybe some, but not too often, which means Donovan Solano is back in there tonight again, batting fifth. And, you know, Solano has been really quite a quite the pickup for the Padres when you consider the amount of attention he's not getting and the kind of production he's giving. So
yeah.
Solano's been really good. Jake Cronenworth's batting sixth at second base tonight. Ha-Seong Kim at shortstop batting seventh. Jackson Merrill hitting eighth. And the guy who has, kind of flipped things around a little bit here in the last week and a half, Kyle Higashioka, will bat ninth and do the catching. I did not know this about Kyle Higashioka, and we had him on the show just last Friday, Scraby.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Higashioka's first three major league hits were all home runs.
Wow.
How about that? When he started with the New York Yankees. And he's kind of doing that right now with the Padres. He's not getting a lot of other hits, but he is hitting some home runs. So hopefully he'll keep it going. And like we've said, ad nauseum throughout the season on this show, the Padres' luck against left-handed starting pitching has just not been very good. So, if they can scratch out a win tonight, they'll take it any way they can get it. J.P. Sears, not necessarily your household name, but he is a left-handed starter. And just about every left-handed starter has given the Padres a major problem this season. So we'll hope that the Friars can kind of reverse their fortunes a little tonight. One more congrats to Mark out in Vista, not only qualifying for the trip to Las Vegas, but winning a trip to Petco Park tonight to see the Padres play. It pays to listen to Gwen and Chris. We'll check some traffic next on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Chrisella, Tony Gwynn Jr. out of Petco Park, getting ready for tonight's ball game between the Padres and the A's. Kristaps Porzingis, this was kind of an interesting headline, I thought. He's going to potentially miss Game 3 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night for the Boston Celtics against the Dallas Mavericks. Porzingis has suffered what the team is calling a rare injury to his left leg.
Like he doesn't get injured often, so it's a rare injury?
No, I don't think that's what they're after, because he gets injured quite often, actually.
I know.
The injury is just one that people don't normally have, evidently. They're not saying a whole lot else about it. Porzingis says it's kind of a random situation. I felt something, and now I have to deal with it. So he's day-to-day. There's no indication yet, according to Wojbaum, that Porzingis will be ruled out of the game against the Mavericks, but it is quite questionable right now as to whether Porzingis plays. He was the key in the Game 1 win for Boston. Also had a pretty good game, too. He's played well in this series so far, but we will see if that, quote, rare injury keeps him out of Game 3.
Is this actually okay with the NBA for their injury list? Because I know they're very serious about reasons and things of that nature.
I don't know that they care as much in the finals. I think they assume that everyone's going to play if they can in the finals, right? As opposed to, like, if this came out during the middle of the season, there might be an investigation into all of this. So
yeah.
We'll see.
A rare injury.
That's what they're terming it as. The other news from the NBA Finals, Luka Doncic apparently had a pain-killing shot before Game 2. He's had a thoracic contusion. Mm. Doncic has been playing through a lot of pain in the playoffs. He's listed as probable for the game. He's going to get another injection before the game tomorrow. Doncic says, I feel good. I don't want to get into any more details, but I feel good. I will say this about Doncic. He has been good in the series. The problem with the Mavericks has not been him. Been everybody else. The rest of the Mavericks really haven't showed up, although Doncic could clean things up a little. He had 8 turnovers in Game 2. Among those who need to clean things up, Kyrie Irving, who said today that he's taking the blame for the Mavericks being down 2-0.
What?
You don't see Kyrie doing that very often. He said,
I mean, I appreciate it, but is it really his fault?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, he's shooting 20% or something like that. He's 0-for-8 in the series from the arc. So, you know, it hasn't been vintage Kyrie in the first 2 games. He said, quote, it started with me telling my hermano being the Spanish
brother.
Word for brother. Everybody doesn't know that.
Okay.
All right. He said, it started me with telling my hermano that I got to play better for him alongside of him in order for us to accomplish our goal. We both have to be playing well, et cetera. I'll tell you, to me, what Dallas needs to do is run a play once in a while. I mean, I said this yesterday. To watch them come down the floor, give the ball to Luka at the top, and then everybody get out of the way is not offense. It's just, you know, one-on-one and Luka trying to step back 3, and he makes some of them, but I don't know, set a screen, run a play, get somebody else open, move the ball. Boston does pretty much the same thing, though, with Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. So that's basketball now. I have to love it or leave it.
That's basketball.
Yeah.
I found out what a thoracic contusion is, and it's not what I expected.
For Luca.
Yeah.
Right. What is it?
It's a chest contusion or a bruise that's caused by a fall or direct blow to the chest.
Yeah, I did take a charge in game one.
There you go.
And they were saying that that may have had something to do with it. Anyway, Dallas is in trouble. They're down 2-0. The Florida Panthers lead the Stanley Cup Finals 2-0. Over the Edmonton Oilers, neither series is playing tonight because, gee, they just need at least 3 or 4 days between every one of these games. So we don't get any games tonight except for the Padres and A's right here. I-97.3 The Fan. Next I-97.3 The Fan is our Big Five. Don't miss it. All right, 4:32 is the time. Welcome back, Gwynn and Chris. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Mr. Scraby, recovering nicely from his shoulder procedure yesterday. Adam Klug's done a terrific job the last 2 days on the board. Now we're going to instruct him to push the buttons to play traffic so that we can get to today's Big Five.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Traffic is sponsored by Valvoline Instant Drive-Thru Oil Change, your trusted instant drive-thru oil change. Two separate crashes on southbound 805. The first one right before Sereno Valley. It's in the center divide. Then up ahead before Claremont Mesa Boulevard, another crash in the center divide. Also getting reports of a possible brush fire starting up northbound 5 past Balboa. Some smoke visible from that right shoulder. Stop by 8 of the 30 San Diego Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers. You don't have to get out of your car. That usually only takes 15 minutes or less. Plus, get a free courtesy check of your tires and battery. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for directions and discounts. SoCalOilChange.com. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one... the only...
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, it's so, so good to be back for the Big Five. I was looking at stories yesterday and I was like, this is a Big Five story, and then realized I wasn't doing the Big Five. But today I got some good
ones for you. It was in good hands yesterday, Scraby.
Did I get Wally Pipped? Because, Adam, Tony and Chris kept telling me I was going to get Wally Pipped by you in the Big Five, so I got to look
over. Well, I don't want to say this in Adam's presence, but, yeah, we're happy to have you back. But he did it. He just did an excellent job filling in, that's all.
Okay, fantastic. I love it. I love it. This hour 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the Frozen Ropes Summer Baseball League and Camps. This week is the last chance to call to register your ball player ages 6 through 12 for the Baseball Summer League. It's going to be an awesome summer of player development and competition. Registration closes this Friday, June 14th. Go to sandiegofrozenropes.com. All right, let's get into it.
Number 5.
Quick and simple question. Tony, you're up first. Fernando Tatis Jr.'s hitting streak has made it to 16 games, and he hit another home run last night. Is this peak Fernando, or does he have more?
I would say he's got more. Just put the hitting streak aside, which, you know, is, you know, kind of an arbitrary thing until we get to a certain number. I think... he's got more in there. He's largely done this with the power coming on here as of late. Early on, it was just, you know, hits, doubles, singles, and he was just kind of working into, it seems like, what is a pretty good groove right now, a really good groove right now. But I still think there's more in there, and it's not, and I don't want people to think in terms of the hitting streak. Put the hitting streak aside. I think there is... another level up that he can go that we've seen him at before. But this has been the most consistent we've seen Tati since maybe 21. And so I'm happy for him that he's finally getting into a groove that I think he feels like he should be in more often. And I'm just excited to keep watching him get better and better.
Absolutely. It's great to see Fernando doing Fernando things. Chris, do you think this is peak Fernando, or does he have more?
Well, I don't know what the answer to that is, but I'm just going to ask my good friend Tony Gwynn Jr. to predict if he's going to do more. Because my good friend Tony Gwynn Jr. predicted that he was going to snap out of this slump well before he ever did snap out of his slump. So I'm thinking that none of us really know if Fernando has more. Except for Tony. He probably knows. So that's one part of it. Now, here's the other part, and I'm going to just pour a tiny bit of cold water. Sorry about this.
God, what?
Yeah. Adam and I were looking this up yesterday after you had gone downstairs, Tony, and this is not a knock on anyone. It's just a fact. Fernando has not hit a home run with a runner on base since Luis Arraez arrived here on May 3rd. And I, you know, this is, I want to see a bunch of teammates waiting at home plate to greet him, meaning he hits a few with two or three guys on base. It is quite amazing that with all the times that Luis Arraez has been on base since he's been a Padre, he has not scored ahead of Fernando on a home run yet. So that, I don't mean that to be cold water. I just mean that if you're asking for more from Fernando, that is an area maybe we could get some more. A couple of two-run and three-run homers.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and put some hot water back on there.
Yes, you please do that.
The homers just started coming here as of
that's
late.
That's right. Yeah.
And so, you know, this is also, you know, the argument for not having, you know, your hitter hit, one of your best hitters hit second. You're only going to have at max a lot of times of the game, especially if Arraez is going to be a leadoff guy three times of one guy being on base at that point. And so I just think it's a matter of time. Now, had Toddy gotten hot when the bottom of the lineup was as hot as they were earlier, we might be having a different conversation, because it's certainly going to take more than just Luis for those three-run shots that I think we're having multiple people at home plate when he's coming home to slap fives.
That's right. I just like there to be a big party at home plate when he arrives. That's all.
Yes, me too. Me too.
Want more all the time.
We're always looking for more, Tony. We can always have more.
I was just thinking that. It's like, you know what? I want Fernando to stop hitting home runs when no one's on
base. That's right. Only do it.
Matter.
That's right. Stop doing it. Only do it if there's people on. There you go.
Yes. All right. Number four. Now, one of the reasons I'm at work 24 hours after a shoulder surgery is because I give players a really hard time. So I am not the one giving a player a hard time in this one. Chris Bryant, he is back on the IL with the Rockies, and one member of the local media is going after him, and some say it was a little unfair. Here's what he said on 9 News in Denver.
It is a good day to have a great day. Hi, everybody. I'm Scotty Gange. I tell you, Chris Bryant is one of the greatest bank robbers of all time. You see, the Rockies' first baseman is headed back on the injury list. We'll miss at least another week and a half. Now, in 2.5 seasons, he has missed 239 games. That's about 2 out of every 3. And with his guaranteed contract, Bryant has earned $25 million in those games which he has not played. That is stealing. For those wondering, 25 mil would be the 6th greatest heist in world history.
So there you go. 6th greatest heist in world history, according to Scotty Gange. Chris, you're first on this one. Fair or unfair?
Totally unfair. Chris Bryant did not sign himself to that contract.
Actually, let me stop you right there real quick, because one of the first comments was, if we're comparing this to a bank robber, then the bank doesn't have any idea what they're doing, which would be the Rockies.
Yeah, right. I mean, if the bank leaves $25 million sitting outside on the street and somebody walks by and takes it away, I got to put a lot of the blame on the bank for that one. So, no, I think this is totally unfair. First of all, he's been hurt. I know that you personally don't like that excuse, Scraby, but if you're hurt, you can't play. But secondly, we knew his injury history. Apparently, the Rockies did not know his injury history. They're the idiots who paid him this money. Stop blaming him. Blame the franchise for a move that is nearly so bad it's kept them from having a chance to make any other moves and be competitive. So, but I can't blame it all on him.
Tony, is this criticism fair or unfair?
No, it's completely unfair. And he comes off as being uneducated as a sports reporter anchor, as his LinkedIn would tell you. I think that, you know, this is like shock value stuff right here. He got on here. He wanted to use the bank robber analogy, trying to be clever and cute. And in essence, he just looks like a fool, ultimately, because as Chris perfectly put it, he didn't sign himself to that deal. And it's not as though Chris Bryant had been completely healthy leading up to it. And so you take a risk when you go out and you sign a guy. And, you know, I just think it's also unfair because, as Chris said, he's been hurt. It's not like he's, you know, ducking playing or wants to be hurt. I know that is probably the sentiment out there when a guy has been hurt as long as he is, but no one likes to be hurt. And certainly no one wants to, most people, I shouldn't say no one, but most individuals like to earn what they're getting paid. Unfortunately, he's hurt, and the way the rules go, his contract is fully guaranteed regardless. And so, guess what? That means he gets to get paid while he's hurt. And lots of baseball players before Chris Bryant laid down the foundation so that that could be the case. And he is reaping the benefits of it to no fault of his own.
Hell, he's a bank robber. What a fine day here in Denver. That's all I got out of that guy. I messed up. Instead of fair or unfair, because we're a baseball station, I should have said fair or foul. So both of you say
too late.
Foul.
You missed your window,
and
buddy.
And guess what? Wally Pipp was the one who texted me that. Adam Klug. So maybe he is Wally Pipping me.
He can take your job.
Number three. New York Mets owner Steve Cohen says his team can still turn it around this season, and fans have been through worse, he said. Cohen, who bought the team ahead of the 2021 season, interacted with fans during the London trip. Quote, "They came over here because they love the Mets. They care about the Mets. They're in good spirits. I was hanging out with them in a pub. We're having a blast. The fans have been through worse. We're trying to break that history. They're great, and they're certainly going to be there for the team," end quote. I've asked it before, but with each news story about Steve Cohen, I'll ask it again, Tony. Is he trying too hard?
No, I don't think so. Not in this case. I mean, how many owners you know are going to go have beers or drinks with their fans in the pub?
He's not a normal human being. He's a billionaire who owns a team.
Yeah, but don't we criticize all the billionaires for not having any feel for what, like, regular folk do? And he's out in a pub with New York Mets fans of all fans. Which is not like a walk in the park, by the way. And he's having, you know, regular activities with regular folk. I think that's kind of cool. I'm glad that you actually explained the initial quote that you had where you said that fans have been through worse. On its own, that sounds like, man, this owner has kind of lost touch. But when you put it together with him being in a pub and actually conversating with him, I think it's a good move, and I'm not mad at him for feeling like they still can be in it. Does that also mean that come deadline time, you'll be willing to add some payroll to the team if, you know, your team shows some life? I think that remains to be seen, but I don't have a problem with him mingling with regular folk. I think that's a good thing.
Chris, is Steve Cohen trying too hard?
No, and this is Tony hit this right on the head, and it's a line drive right back at your head. The thing is, Scraby, you are representing the fans here who complain and whine that these owners are out of touch. And then when they do something that puts them in touch, you're complaining about that. And
it's because I don't think that they're being genuine. He's down there because he wants to make good.
How do you know he's not being genuine? He might be thirsty. Do you ever think of that?
Oh. Well, might just, you know, be thirsty. Pubs are on like every street corner in the UK. So,
I think he was appreciative of the fans who came over to support his team, and he went and showed his appreciation for that. And, you know, I know Met fans don't like this guy, but we just talked about an owner in Colorado. You could have him. So be careful what you're rooting for. Steve Cohen at least spends money. I don't know that I don't think he spent it wisely, and there's some criticism to be laid there. But he's trying to bring a winner to New York, and, you know, he hasn't been successful yet. He hasn't found the right combination. But a lot of that is a bunch of high-priced players not performing the way they should. So, you know, I don't really have a problem with Steve Cohen the way a lot of Met fans do.
You make a good point, because you could also be stuck with the A's owner as well, who just doesn't care.
There's a whole bunch of them who don't care.
Yes. All right. NFL broadcaster Greg Olson, one of our favorites here, was on a podcast recently. I think it was Pardon My Take, and he said this about broadcasting.
I think an NFL broadcaster could broadcast an NBA game with more understanding and clarity than vice versa.
Ooh. Okay. Because it's I'd agree. Offenses.
All right, 4:32 is the time. Welcome back, Gwen and Chris. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Mr. Scraby, recovering nicely from his shoulder procedure yesterday. Adam Klug's done a terrific job the last 2 days on the board. Now we're going to instruct him to push the buttons to play traffic so that we can get to today's Big Five.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Traffic is sponsored by Valvoline Instant Drive-Thru Oil Change, your trusted instant drive-thru oil change. Two separate crashes on southbound 805. The first one right before Sereno Valley. It's in the center divide. Then up ahead before Claremont Mesa Boulevard, another crash in the center divide. Also getting reports of a possible brush fire starting up northbound 5 past Balboa. Some smoke visible from that right shoulder. Stop by any of the 30 San Diego Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers. You don't have to get out of your car. That usually only takes 15 minutes or less. Plus, get a free courtesy check of your tires and battery. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for directions and discounts. SoCalOilChange.com. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, it's so good to be back for the Big Five. I was looking at stories yesterday, and I was like, this is a Big Five story, and then realized I wasn't doing the Big Five. But today I got some good
ones for you. It was in good hands yesterday, Scraby.
Did I get Wally Pipped? Because, Adam, Tony and Chris kept telling me I was going to get Wally Pipped by you in the Big Five, so I got to look
over. Well, I don't want to say this in Adam's presence, but, yeah, we're happy to have you back. But he did he just did an excellent job filling in, that's all.
Okay, fantastic. I love it. This hour 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the Frozen Ropes Summer Baseball League and Camps. This week is the last chance to call to register your ballplayer ages 6 through 12 for the Baseball Summer League. It's going to be an awesome summer of player development and competition. Registration closes this Friday, June 14th. Go to sandiegofrozenropes.com. All right, let's get into it.
Number 5.
Quick and simple question. Tony, you're up first. Fernando Tatis Jr.'s hitting streak has made it to 16 games, and he hit another home run last night. Is this peak Fernando, or does he have more?
I would say he's got more. Aside, just put the hitting streak aside, which, you know, it's, you know, kind of an arbitrary thing until we get to a certain number. I think he's got more in there. He's largely done this with the power coming on here as of late. Early on, it was just, you know, hits, doubles, singles, and he was just kind of working into, it seems like, what is a pretty good groove right now, a really good groove right now. But I still think there's more in there, and it's not, and I don't want people to think in terms of the hitting streak. Put the hitting streak aside. I think there is another level up that he can go that we've seen him at before. But this has been the most consistent we've seen Toddy since maybe 21. And so I'm happy for him that he's finally getting into a groove that I think he feels like he should be in more often. And I'm just excited to keep watching him get better and better.
Absolutely. It's great to see Fernando doing Fernando things. Chris, do you think this is peak Fernando, or does he have more?
Well, I don't know what the answer to that is, but I'm just going to ask my good friend Tony Gwynn Jr. to predict if he's going to do more. Because my good friend Tony Gwynn Jr. predicted that he was going to snap out of this slump well before he ever did snap out of his slump. So I'm thinking that none of us really know if Fernando has more. except for Tony. He probably knows. So that's one part of it. Now, here's the other part, and I'm going to just pour a tiny bit of cold water. Sorry about this.
God, what?
Yeah. Adam and I were looking this up yesterday after you had gone downstairs, Tony, and this is not a knock on anyone. It's just a fact. Fernando has not hit a home run with a runner on base since Luis Arraez arrived here on May 3rd. And I, you know, this is, I want to see a bunch of teammates waiting at home plate to greet him, meaning he hits a few with two or three guys on base. It is quite amazing that with all the times that Luis Arraez has been on base since he's been a Padre, he has not scored ahead of Fernando on a home run yet. So that, I don't mean that to be cold water. I just mean that if you're asking for more from Fernando, that is an area maybe we could get some more. A couple of two-run and three-run homers.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and put some hot water back on there.
Yes, you please do that.
The homers just started coming here as of
that's
late.
That's right. Yeah.
And so, you know, as is also, you know, the argument for not having, you know, your hitter hit your best, one of your best hitters hit second. You're only going to have at max at most, a lot of times of the game, especially if Arraez is going to be a leadoff guy three times, of one guy being on base at that point. And so, I just think it's a matter of time. Now, had Toddy gotten hot when the bottom of the lineup was as hot as they were earlier, we might be having a different conversation, because it's certainly going to take more than just Luis for those three-run shots that I think we're having multiple people at home plate when he's coming home to slap fives.
That's right. I just like there to be a big party at home plate when he arrives. That's all.
Yes, me too. Me too.
We want more all the time.
We're always looking for more, Tony. We can always have more.
I was just thinking that. It's like, you know what? I want Fernando to stop hitting home runs when no one's on.
That's
base
right. Only do it. Matter. That's right. Stop doing it. Only do it if there's people on. There you go.
Yes. All right. Number four. Now, one of the reasons I'm at work 24 hours after a shoulder surgery is because I give players a really hard time. So I am not the one giving a player a hard time in this one. Chris Bryant, he is back on the IL with the Rockies, and one member of the local media is going after him, and some say it was a little unfair. Here's what he said on 9 News in Denver.
It is a good day to have a great day. Hi, everybody. I'm Scotty Gange. I tell you, Chris Bryant is one of the greatest bank robbers of all time. You see, the Rockies' first baseman is headed back on the injury list and will miss at least another week and a half. Now, in 2.5 seasons, he has missed 239 games. That's about 2 out of every 3. And with his guaranteed contract, Bryant has earned $25 million in those games which he has not played. That is stealing. For those wondering, 25 milks would be the 6th greatest heist in world history.
So there you go. 6th greatest heist in world history, according to Scotty Gange. Chris, you're first on this one. Fair or unfair?
Totally unfair. Chris Bryant did not sign himself to that contract.
Actually, let me stop you right there real quick, because one of the first comments was, if we're comparing this to a bank robber, then the bank doesn't have any idea what they're doing, which would be the Rockies.
Yeah, right. I mean, if the bank leaves $25 million sitting outside on the street and somebody walks by and takes it away, I got to put a lot of the blame on the bank for that one. So, no, I think this is totally unfair. First of all, he's been hurt. I know that you personally don't like that excuse, Scraby, but if you're hurt, you can't play. But secondly, we knew his injury history. Apparently, the Rockies did not know his injury history. They're the idiots who paid him this money. Stop blaming him. Blame the franchise for a move that is really so bad, it's kept them from having a chance to make any other moves and be competitive. So, but I can't blame it all on him.
Tony, is this criticism fair or unfair?
No, it's completely unfair. And he comes off as being uneducated as a sports reporter anchor, as his LinkedIn would tell you. I think that, you know, this is like shock value stuff right here. He got on here. He wanted to use the bank robber analogy, trying to be clever and cute. And in essence, he just looks like a fool, ultimately, because as Chris perfectly put it, he didn't sign himself to that deal. And it's not as though Chris Bryant had been completely healthy leading up to it. And so you take a risk when you go out and you sign a guy. And, you know, I just think it's also unfair because, as Chris said, he's been hurt. It's not like he's, you know, ducking playing or wants to be hurt. I know that is probably the sentiment out there when a guy has been hurt as long as he is, but no one likes to be hurt. And certainly no one wants to, most people, I shouldn't say no one, but most individuals like to earn what they're getting paid. Unfortunately, he's hurt, and the way the rules go, his contract is fully guaranteed regardless. And so guess what? That means he gets to get paid while he's hurt. And lots of baseball players before Chris Bryant laid down the foundation so that that could be the case. And he's repping, and he's reaping the benefits of it to no fault of his own.
Hell, he's a bank robber. What a fine day here in Denver. That's all I got out of that guy. I messed up. Instead of fair or unfair, because we're a baseball station, I should have said fair or foul. So both of you say
too late.
Foul.
You missed your window,
and
buddy.
And guess what? And guess what? Wally Pipp was the one who texted me that. Adam Klug. So maybe he is Wally Pipping me.
He can take your job.
Number three.
New York Mets owner Steve Cohen says his team can still turn it around this season, and fans have been through worse, he said. Cohen, who bought the team ahead of the 2021 season, interacted with fans during the London trip. Quote, "They came over here because they love the Mets. They care about the Mets. They're in good spirits. I was hanging out with them in a pub. We're having a blast. The fans have been through worse. We're trying to break that history. They're great, and they're certainly going to be there for the team," end quote. I've asked it before, but with each news story about Steve Cohen, I'll ask it again, Tony. Is he trying too hard?
No, I don't think so. Not in this case. I mean, how many owners you know are going to go have beers or drinks with their fans in the
pub?
He's
not a normal human being. He's a billionaire who owns a team.
Yeah, but don't we criticize all the billionaires for not having any feel for what, like, regular folk do? And he's out in a pub with New York Mets fans, of all fans.
Which is
not like a walk in the park, by the way. And he's having, you know, regular activities with regular folk. I think that's kind of cool. I'm glad that you actually explained the initial quote that you had when you said that fans have been through worse. On its own, that sounds like, man, this owner has kind of lost touch. But when you put it together with him being in a pub and actually conversating with him, I think it's a good move. And I'm not mad at him for feeling like they still can be in it. Does that also mean that come deadline time, you'll be willing to add some payroll to the team if, you know, your team shows some life? I think that remains to be seen. But I don't have a problem with him mingling with regular folk. I think that's a good thing.
Chris, is Steve Cohen trying too hard?
No, and this is Tony hit this right on the head, and it's a line drive right back at your head. The thing is, Scraby, you are representing the fans here who complain and whine that these owners are out of touch. And then when they do something that puts them in touch, you're complaining about that. And
it's because I don't think that they're being genuine. He's down there because he wants to make good.
How do you know he's not being genuine? He might be thirsty. Do you ever think of that?
Well,
might just,
you know,
be thirsty.
Pubs are on like every street corner in the UK. So
I think he was appreciative of the fans who came over to support his team, and he went and showed his appreciation for that. And, you know, I know Met fans don't like this guy, but we just talked about an owner in Colorado. You could have him. So be careful what you're rooting for. Steve Cohen at least spends money. I don't know that I don't think he spent it wisely, and there's some criticism to be laid there. But he's trying to bring a winner to New York, and, you know, he hasn't been successful yet. He hasn't found the right combination. But a lot of that is a bunch of high-priced players not performing the way they should. So, you know, I don't really have a problem with Steve Cohen the way a lot of Met fans do.
You make a good point, because you could also be stuck with the A's owner as well, who just doesn't.
There's
care
a whole
about
bunch
anything.
Of them who don't care.
Yes.
All right.
NFL broadcaster Greg Olson, one of our favorites here, was on a podcast recently. I think it was Pardon My Take, and he said this about broadcasting.
I think an NFL broadcaster could broadcast an NBA game with more understanding and clarity than vice versa.
Ooh. Okay. I'd agree. Offenses are too complicated. Defense is too complicated in the NFL.
Because remember, like in football, every play is an individual story, right? It's not just like a constant evolve where when again, this is my lame in basketball understanding. When I'm watching, when J.J. Redick's, who I think is awesome, when he's broadcasting the game and I'm like genuinely listening to what he's saying because I think it's fun to learn and whatnot, he's not, or the play-by-play guy is not saying like, hey, down screen, flare screen, then they run an Iverson cut, and then they're going to backdoor pick and roll, high, low screen. They're not really giving like the play-by-play exactly because it's happening so fast, right?
All right, so he goes on and on about that, but he did say an NFL broadcaster would have an easier time with an NBA game than an NBA broadcaster would be calling an NFL game. Chris, do you agree or disagree? Oh, actually, I'm sorry. Fair or foul, Chris?
Foul. Okay. I think he should stay in his own lane, honestly.
Well, what about the Iverson pick?
Scraby, if I could jump in here, when you're talking basketball, it's inbounds or out of bounds.
Oh, thank you very much. Inbounds or out of bounds, Chris?
Wally Pipp has heard from again.
It's out of bounds. It's out of bounds.
I just don't need that Greg Olson needed to say this at all. I don't know what is to be gained by him making this claim. He's talking about in the NBA where they don't talk about Iverson cuts. I've never heard Greg Olson explain, honestly, an XY post curl either. Maybe he's told me that a guy ran the post pattern, but they don't give you the lingo of the NFL in NFL broadcasting the same way they don't give you the lingo of the NBA in NBA broadcasting, but I don't know. I mean, he talks about every play being a separate thing. Isn't that easier to break down than an ongoing process, which the NBA is, and play after play after play, and defenses and changing on the fly? I think he just would have been better off not broaching this subject in the first place, frankly.
Tony, inbounds or out of bounds for Greg Olson?
I'm going to say out of bounds. Now, I'll say that and say I don't know what prompted him to even bring this up.
Right.
I don't know
if they're talking about broadcasting and things like that.
Right, obviously, Scraby, they're talking about broadcasting.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I was trying to give you a little bit of context.
I got that part. But I'm
he
saying,
just
did they
come up with it
they,
and just be like,
did they just
hey.
Straight up ask him, do you think you could broadcast a basketball game? You know, if that was the question, okay, I could see how he got here. But I think Chris is right, though. I think ultimately he could have just avoided answering it like that. And I don't know that there's any basketball broadcasters that are going to feel some way about it. I mean, maybe there would be. I'm surprised. I won't be surprised if we hear from Shaq or Charles or one of those guys out of that group about it. But yeah, I think he would have been better served just leaving that alone because ultimately. That is the same. In some ways, right? That is the same thing. Listening to him say, "I could probably do a football game."
Yeah, there you go, Tony.
Be able to break it down. And here he is, basically saying the same thing, only in a little bit more nuanced way. And so, I don't know. It doesn't sound all that great.
At least he didn't go after baseball because baseball is tough. You're doing it every day. It's not. There's no break. And NFL broadcasters have a full week to prepare. NBA broadcasters don't have full weeks to prepare.
Well, I mean, I think Chris is also on the subject when he says they don't. None of the sports really break down the lingo of their sport, so to speak. Maybe in baseball more than the others because you have time to kind of explain it, but. I don't think most people would want to hear the lingo because they wouldn't understand it, especially in football, right? So, you know, I don't necessarily believe that either because people would get tuned out for that. Now, you can explain how a play works and not have to necessarily use the actual lingo for the folks who are watching to understand, but to say that they don't break down the Iverson cut, as he said, versus the XY fly out screen, you know, whatever that might be, I think that's a little bit of an exaggeration.
I do too. And I know when I broadcast hockey, and I appreciated it, a lot of people always said hockey has got to be the hardest to do. It moves fast, there's no timeouts, they're changing. And I always felt that hockey was the easiest one to do because there's always something going on. I've always felt baseball play-by-play is the hardest. And, Tony, you know that you have so much time to fill during a baseball game. Hockey, you don't have to fill very much. You just had to describe what's going on, and you'll be all right. The point being, I think that every sport has its difficulties, and every sport has its nuances. And, you know, just let the broadcasters who do what they do do it well. And, Greg Olson, stick to your football because you do that well.
You know, Jim Nantz, step aside. I want to do the Masters, and I think I could do it. I already got the hello friends.
Well, you've got that.
Oh, my goodness. That was amazing timing by
the problem is after hello friends, you'd have to keep speaking. And
hello friends.
I think you'd run into problems.
49ers running back Christian McCaffrey has been named as the cover player for Madden 25, and this immediately had me scared about the Madden curse, so I looked into it, and CBS Sports broke it down for me. Using their year-by-year decisions, 14 of the 24 cover athletes from the year 2000 to now have been cursed, so only 14, but just 2.5, I don't know where they get the half from, of the 10 cover athletes from the last 10 years, so 2014 to 2024, have been cursed. So there haven't been any back-to-back curses since the years 2011-2012. I'm not going to ask you about the Madden curse, guys. Tony, was Christian McCaffrey the right guy for the cover?
Yes, he's certainly deserving. You can make the argument he could have been on there a couple years now, the way he's been playing since he's had a Niner uniform on. I think this is right where it needs to be. I hope that he doesn't have a cursed year.
I know what you're doing.
No, you don't. I really don't want to. I don't want anybody to get on the Madden cover and have a bad year, because in there everybody's going to be reluctant to do it. And I just think, I don't wish anybody to get hurt or have a bad year, even if he does play for the 49ers.
Chris, what do you think? Was he the right guy for the cover, Chris?
No, he was not. They would have sold a ton more games if they would have just put Taylor Swift on there the way it was deserved to be and meant to be in the first place.
That's
a lot more wide-ranging audience. Even Wally Pipp agrees with me.
It would be. Can you imagine their little Super Bowl embrace, her and Travis Kelce on the cover of Madden?
There you
that
go.
Would be it.
Right, and an embrace with her her back leg kicked up behind her and them celebrating the Chiefs championship. And that way, if she was cursed and had a bad year, no football fans would really care too much about it.
That's true, but she can never have a bad year, so that would never happen. But I think that's a great cover idea, Chris.
Thank you.
All right, that is it for the Big Five, and I hope you guys liked all the questions on day two of this week instead of day one.
Wally Pipp.
When we get back, we are going to set you up for game two between the A's and the Padres here on 97.3 The Fan, Gwynn and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.